The Giants end up losing 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. Surprise, surprise. But at the end of the day, the big takeaway from this series was David Villar hitting 3 home runs, including 2 yesterday, and Lewis Brinson also having a breakout series. So we're going to get into those guys and what to be looking for the rest of the season for the Giants next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015. And I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Vroom. With Vroom, you can buy a car entirely online and have it delivered straight to you, so you never have to go to a dealership again. So next time you need to buy a car, just grab your phone, go to vroom.com, and check out thousands of great cars. And coming up on today's show, as I said, Giants lost 2 out of 3, but we're at the point in the season where that's okay. I think they had won, 4 straight, and so we kind of got believing a little bit or hoping a little bit that they could come back into this race, but facing the Dodgers in LA is very likely to give you a dose of reality. Even though the Giants were able to win Game 1 of the series, Dodgers won 2 out of 3, which should shock nobody. They already have, 94 wins? Giants have been eliminated from the NL West race. I've got this sign over my shoulder for those of you watching on YouTube, NL West champs. I'm going to have to take that down because they did not repeat, not even close. They're 20-something games back, basically a month to play, and they're eliminated. So crazy that they were able to win last year. But the focusing on what's really going on with the Giants right now, if it's not about wins and losses, is these future pieces. And I'm talking about David Villar, and I'm talking about Lewis Brinson. They're 2 September call-ups initially. And we've talked a lot about Brinson because he kind of broke out before David Villar in the last week. But Villar just had a good series in Los Angeles. And so he obviously had that taste of the major leagues earlier this year, and it didn't go all that well. But he was walking a lot, and so the on-base percentage was decent, and you just weren't seeing the power show up. But this is a guy who hit 27 home runs in AAA this year in 84 games. So big-time power. That's a 342 isolated power. I don't know what league average is exactly in the Pacific Coast League, but it's higher than the major league average. But still, he was getting it done with power in AAA, and it translated to this series in LA. 3 home runs in the series, including all three, to the opposite field, including one against Clayton Kershaw. And so, you know, what does VR have on the season now? Well, it's just a 218 batting average, but a 354 on base, thanks to a walk rate that's close to 15%. Now, that's way above major league average. Walk rate is one of those things that stabilizes relatively quickly. I'm not saying it's stable at 15%, but I am saying it's pretty apparent that he's going to be a guy able to walk at an above average rate, most likely, I would say, just by looking at this. Now, if the league finds out that you can just pound him in the zone and he's going to get himself out, that might go down. But still, he was getting himself out quite a bit, and still managed to get on base a lot via the walk, and a 354 on base when you only have a 218 average. What does that tell me? If you start being able to improve your average a little bit, the gap between the average and the on base kind of remains. And so the on base, if you improve your average by 30 points and get up to 248, then you improve the on base percentage by 30 points and you're at 384, which is elite. And then in terms of power, we weren't seeing it, but all of a sudden one game can kind of change the equation. And now suddenly he's got a 205 isolated power, which is above league average. He's hit 4 home runs. I would imagine he's hit two doubles and a triple as well. So a lot of extra bases suddenly for David Villar, giving him that above average isolated power. Isolated power just being slugging minus batting average. It's basically taking like the singles out, because batting average just kind of, like, if you have a 300 average and they're all singles, your slugging is also 300. And so then your isolated power is zero if all your hits are singles. So anyway, he's got the 218 average, 354 on base, 423 slugging, and it's a 123 weighted runs created plus. So the overall picture has been about 23 percentage points above league average offensively in the major leagues. So that's why they're giving this guy an opportunity, to hope that the talent rises to the top with him. And it's not been a platoon. He's a guy who's in there every day. We don't yet have lineups for game one of this doubleheader in Milwaukee today, but you know, he's not a guy who's just on the short side of a platoon, which is what they've been doing with Lewis Brinson. I would imagine that if Brinson continues to just really hit, they'll give him more opportunities. But Brinson is a very different type of hitter, in that he is someone who's going to chase a lot more. And when you're susceptible to chasing, I think that facing same-handed pitching can be really tough, and you can get quite exploited by chasing a lot and facing tough righties as a right-handed hitter. And so I would imagine that Brinson kind of sticks in the platoon role for now, at least, but David Villar is a guy they're giving everyday opportunities to. He's 25 years old. As we said the other day, he was the best hitter in the Pacific Coast League, and the year before that, he was the best hitter in the league in AA, where the Flying Squirrels play. I'm forgetting, Northeast League. So anyway, I mean, he's been good in the minor leagues. It just didn't translate until suddenly one big game can kind of make your numbers look a whole heck of a lot better. And so watching David Villar play for the rest of the season, and they're going to give him a real opportunity here, is one of the more, if not the most, meaningful thing to watch for the rest of the year. And we've also got, you know, Joey Bart comes off the concussion IL, and watching him for the last month will be big, thinking about 2023. And of course, Brinson as well. So coming up in just a minute, we're going to get into these roster moves. The Giants added some players, took some players off. There's a lot of fluctuation right now, especially with this upcoming day being a double header. But before we get into that, guys, we all know that confidence can take you far in life. It's especially true in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The simple process, sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. BlueChew's tablets are made in the United States and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay the $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. All right, as promised, we're going to get into the roster fluctuations for the Giants. They're making a lot of moves. They sent out Bryce Johnson, which may or may not have been popular. I mean, it was very likely not popular, but we do have a lineup as I'm reading this, so we'll get into what the lineup is for today. It's going to be interesting playing a doubleheader in Milwaukee. This is because of the lockout. This is a brutal stretch of games here, three in LA, and then the next day a doubleheader in Milwaukee, and then tomorrow they start a new series in Chicago. So a brutal little stretch here, and they're making some moves to be able to deal with the demands on the pitching staff, right? It's pretty tough to have to do what they're doing right now. So for a doubleheader, you get to add an extra player, and the Giants did add Sean Jelly as the extra man for the doubleheader. So Jelly has had cameos with the Giants all season long. He's never really stuck around, which should tell you a little bit about what they think that he'll be, or at least what they think he is right now, which is not a top prospect, but I don't know. He's obviously a freak of nature with his extreme height and is interesting. So I'm a little bit surprised we haven't seen more of him this season, given how it's gone. And maybe in the last month of the year, we'll get to see more of him as well. I do believe at a certain point, it becomes worth just giving a look to a lot of these different guys who could be a part of your future. And so Jelly is one of them. They also have, the reporters have announced that Shelby Miller is in Milwaukee. You might be saying, who the heck is Shelby Miller? Well, he's a guy who has a long major league career. He's thrown 771 innings in his major league career, and he joined the Giants. I don't know if it was a minor league deal or if they claimed him off waivers. I don't believe he was on the 40-man roster, so I don't remember exactly how he came into the organization. But he's been in AAA, where he's made 26 appearances, and he's done quite well. So they'd have to add him to the 40-man. I really don't believe he was already on the 40-man. And he could be pitching in this game. So if you see Shelby Miller and you're like, who the heck is this? He's an interesting guy, former starter, has shown promise at times in his career, right-handed pitcher, believe he throws pretty hard. I don't know if he still does, but has had a lot of injuries in his career. I find it interesting what they're doing with the bullpen. They are definitely trying out new players. We've seen, you know, Alex Young, Thomas Zupacki, who's since been sent down, Scott Alexander, probably the guy I'm most intrigued about, and Shelby Miller. And they also added Luis Ortiz to the roster yesterday. Ortiz is a guy who he had to be added to the 40-man roster, and he's been a guy who's done really well in AAA. The ERA doesn't really stand out as a good ERA at all, but a guy who's been able to strike people out. And what really stands out to me is he hasn't walked anybody, 4.5% walk rate. He did get into a game in LA yesterday, pitched 2/3 of an inning, scoreless, and I believe hitless as well. I don't think he allowed any base runners. So Luis Ortiz, Shelby Miller, Sean Jelly, Alex Young, Scott Alexander. There's suddenly a lot of new arms in this Giants pitching staff. And for me, a lot of those guys are going to be key to watch down the stretch here, because they're auditioning for next year's bullpen. This year's bullpen really took a step back, and they need to shuffle the cards a little bit, shuffle the deck, however, whatever the phrase is, because they just have to get better in the pen. So it looks like they have an enormous pen right now as I look through the names in the bullpen. There's a lot of guys. They also added Junior Marte in recent days. So they did send out Bryce Johnson in order to add Luis Ortiz to the roster. And so Andrew Baggerly said this, and I'm going to kind of second it. He said it's just dumb that you have to option players in September. And the what he's referring to is that we used to allow up to 40 players on the roster in September, after it was 25 all season, and then September would roll around and you could have 40 guys. Basically, your entire 40-man roster could come up to the major leagues, but now it went from 40 to 28. And so I kind of agree. It is unfortunate for a guy like Bryce Johnson. He doesn't get to stick on the roster simply because they need some arms. He has options. Like, he was just kind of the logical guy to go in a lot of ways. You could DFA someone off your roster, but you could also just option a guy like Bryce Johnson and keep everybody. But then it's kind of unfortunate that you're losing a younger player off your roster when they're kind of auditioning for next year's team. So he'll be back at some point when they don't need these arms as desperately as they do right now. We will see Bryce Johnson again, but for now, he is sent out, and they have a bunch of arms on this team right now in order to get them through this difficult stretch. So coming up in just a minute, we're going to actually get to a couple of mailbag questions. I've got about 40 remaining from late last week, and I want to get to a couple more before we close out the day. So all of that in just a second. But first, all right, as promised, we are going to get to some more mailbag questions. Brian says, what are one or two reasons we should have to tune in and watch the rest of the season's games. I think I read that a little bit incorrectly, but the sentiment is, what is worth watching with this team for the last month of the year? And I believe I've done, I don't want to say a good job. I'm just saying I believe I've expressed today what one or two reasons are for watching this team the rest of the way. And what they are, I think watching David Villar's at-bats and his defense is important. It is noteworthy that he's playing a lot of first base. Right now, he could be an option at first base next year with Brandon Belt reaching free agency. I would prefer not to just put a guy at first base where his defensive value is less he's making less of a defensive impact at first base than he would at, say, third base. And VR, I believe he's also played some second base. So, I don't know. They currently have Evan Longoria, but Longoria is another guy who is reaching free agency. There is a club option for $13 million and a $5 million buyout. So the fact that they want to get younger and more athletic indicates to me that we very well may not see Brandon Belt or Evan Longoria on this team next year, in which case a guy like David Villar is potentially an important part of the future of this team. If he can perform here in the month of September and establish himself as a good player, which we didn't see in his first stint in the majors, but the last few days, I mean, hitting opposite field tanks off of Clayton Kershaw is certainly a way to put yourself on the map, especially given what he was able to do in the minors the last couple of years. So his at-bats and just watching him play defense and seeing what positions he can handle and which positions are tougher for him is really important to me. And also Lewis Brinson, we've talked about him a lot the last few days, but if he can continue to just mash left-handed pitching, be a spark, provide value on the bases and in center field, he's a guy who can be brought back for three additional seasons through the arbitration process. And so he could be a future part of this team. So we're just going to have to watch and see. Yesterday wasn't nearly as good of a game for him, but the little power outbreak was certainly eye-catching and worth watching him. And for me, I'm looking at the bullpen. As I said, there's so many new faces in the pen, and it's about seeing who can be a part of the future. So thankfully, they're doing this. They're not just sticking with that same old kind of stagnant roster. And we are seeing this, and we get another 4 weeks of this. So that's what I'm looking for. Next question comes from Crumbs, who says, do you think there will be changes on the coaching staff? So I think probably at least one or two. At least one, I would say, I think we'll see. I do wonder, and I've said this a lot, if losing Donnie Eckert to the Texas Rangers made an impact. Clearly, they've been worse this year than they were last year. A lot of players, something that has stood out is the quality of the at-bats has been very poor at times from several guys. And you look at a guy like Brandon Crawford, for example, and he was so good last year. And even in 2020, we saw a better version of Brandon Crawford than we're seeing this year. So how much of that is just expected regression? How much of the last couple of years was just fluky? How much of this year is like age-related aggression, regression compared to last year? Or how much of it was really losing Donnie Ecker, who was, by all accounts, as I understand, like the head of their hitting coach group, and they had three of them. So I don't know what the answer is. It's for them to investigate, and I just wonder if they want to make some changes to that hitting group. I think the pitching group has done generally a pretty good job. They've gotten the best out of a lot of guys over the last several years, and there hasn't been a ton of turnover. They did lose Ethan Katz to the Chicago White Sox, but you know, they bring in Carlos Rodon from the White Sox, for example, and he's the best version of himself right now. And, you know, Logan Webb, it's been not quite as good as last year, but still very good. And on, they've had a lot of success with their pitchers. So I don't know. I do expect, given how poorly this year has gone just overall, or how much of a disappointment it's been, that we'll probably see some shakeups and less of what we were worried about last year, which was other teams poaching away Giants coaches, which we did see with Donnie Ecker going to the Texas Rangers. So yeah, I would just expect something, but probably not a major overhaul, because I think a lot of their coaches have done a pretty nice job, but it remains to be seen. But yeah, something to look out for. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combined into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. Helps me out a lot, so thanks in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. Can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Two games to talk about. Giants in Milwaukee, a couple of righties on the mound for the Brewers. So, you know, we're probably not going to see Lewis Brinson starting, just by way of example, but we'll get some David Villar at-bats and much more that we'll talk about tomorrow and get into some more mailbag questions. So, thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.